Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What does that mean? It does not mean that those who choose God thereby resign themselves to a life devoid of pleasure, though that's what many people think. But actually, the greatest pleasures in life attend fellowship with God. Those who pursue pleasure as their main goal, in the end, receive a very limited supply of satisfaction from their pleasure. But those who make the pursuit of God their primary goal have unending pleasure, have an inexhaustible supply of pleasure. Nor does this phrase, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, mean that the ones that are described by that phrase have loved God some, but they have not loved him enough. What it means is that in reality, they have not loved God at all, though they think they have, in some cases, many cases. They profess that they have, in many cases, but the Bible is pulling back the facade and showing us the truth, what is the reality of the situation, namely, that those who love pleasure more than God don't really love God at all. It's a sobering thought. And we need to give it careful consideration, and so to that end, thank you for joining me on this Friday, April 1 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. Can you believe that we have finally arrived at the month of April in the year 2011? And I'm so very, very grateful for those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to continue this Bible teaching ministry. Well, what does this phrase mean, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? What it means is that when pleasure is our main goal, our main priority in life, then God has been rejected from his rightful place. Because the only rightful place for God is first priority, to love God with all of our hearts and souls and mind and strength. And anything less than that is not giving God his rightful place. In other words, what this is telling us is that being fond of pleasure is the antithesis of love for God. You say, does that mean that Christians can't have fun? No, Christians can and do have fun. Does that mean that it's wrong to ever be involved in any kind of entertainment? No, it's not. That's not what this is saying. It is just saying, what comes first? What comes first? God or fun? Teenagers often describe everything that's good in terms of fun. How was your vacation? It was fun. How was your senior class trip? It was fun. How was your night at church? It was fun. Well, maybe. But the problem is that the church is filled with pleasure seekers who claim to love God, but who actually love pleasure more, worldly pleasure. And as we mentioned on the broadcast yesterday, to attract and hold these people, many churches have resorted to an entertainment-oriented way of, quote, doing church. Because many people find biblical Christianity rather dull. Surprise, surprise. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So somebody who can't understand the Bible is going to find Bible sermons pretty dull. Somebody who can't understand sound doctrine is going to find hymns that are intensely filled with doctrine, with Bible doctrine, yes, theology, are going to find that pretty dull. For people who don't understand the things of God, prayers that are filled with references to Bible truth are going to be pretty dull. Of course they are, because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And you can't change that by changing the contents of the Bible and somehow repackaging it to change man's natural antipathy for things spiritual. That's not the way you change the situation. There's only one way to change it. It's called the new birth, and that's the work of the Spirit of God. And the only way that God works is in concert with the gospel. And we've got to be content to let God do His work, and we've got to be content to wait upon God to do His work and to work with what God has done and is doing and not think that we can speed it up or make it happen differently. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. How can you tell if you love pleasure more than you love God? Well, let me just ask you, when it comes to the Lord's Day, for example, what do you think of as the Lord's Day? What is your concept? Do you think of it primarily as my day for recreation, for relaxation, my day of rest, my only day to relax? I work hard all week, and I need a day of rest, so I don't go to church. I stay home and rest, or I get involved in some kind of recreation and some kind of relaxation that takes my mind off my work, and that's what is my first priority. Guess what? You've identified yourself as one who loves pleasure more than you love God. If you love God more than you love pleasure, then you're not going to allow every opportunity for pleasure to knock you out of your opportunity to worship God and serve Him. I'm not trying to be legalistic here. I don't think I am being legalistic. I'm just saying it's a matter of priorities. What comes first? People who miss church a lot because when company comes, I can't go to church. Sounds like lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Sorry. When my ball team is playing on Sunday, I can't go to church. Sounds like lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And so forth. When I go on vacation, I don't go to church. Sounds like lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And so many other ways that this is demonstrated. I talked yesterday about how big a $20 bill looks when you are thinking about dropping it in the offering plate, in other words, giving it to God. But it doesn't seem like that much at all when you're spending it at a ball game, when you're spending on fun, when you're buying tickets, when you're involved in recreation, when you're having a night out. Why, you can just slap those 20s down right and left without hardly thinking about it, or however you do it, put it on your credit card. It's no big deal. But somehow it becomes a real big deal when you think about giving it to the church, giving it to the missionary, giving it to the cause of the gospel and the cause of Christ's kingdom. What's the problem here? What's the problem? Sounds like this sinful manifestation of fallen Adamic hearts, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's amazing. And how we see this with the young people in our church have a hard time coming up with money for a good book to study in a Bible study program, but announce a trip to Carowinds or Six Flags or King's Dominion or skiing or whitewater rafting, and teens who can't seem to afford anything that relates to God and Bible study and church somehow always seem to be able to come up with the money for a fun outing like that. Oftentimes, usually, many times, the poorest kids can come up with that somehow they can. Well, that's not too surprising for unconverted young people. You really wouldn't expect anything different, would you? But let's be honest about what this manifests. It manifests an unregenerate heart. Those who love pleasure more than loving God are manifesting that they have never been born again. And that's true for young people, and that's true for adults. But now we move on to the last of the 19. We come to verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, which says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. A form of godliness, but denying its power. And that brings us to number 19, which we'll just introduce today, and then, Lord willing, we'll take up on the broadcast next week. But let's read the list again. Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, said Paul in 2 Timothy 3, 1, 4, verse 2. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Having a form of godliness. A form of godliness. A morphosyn is the Greek word of godliness. It's a word that means the expression or embodiment of the essential, of that which is permanent. A form. A mere outward semblance as distinguished from the essential reality. A form is an expression of something that is real. It is an outward semblance of something that is inward and real. It is something that looks on the surface like something which is essential and real, but it is only an outward appearance. It is mere semblance, a form of what? Of godliness. Eusebiai, which means reverence, respect, piety, worship toward God. Often this word is translated worship or service. It can go either way, but the idea primarily of worshiping God. Having an outward form of worshiping God, but denying the power. Denying in practice, not in words necessarily. You don't verbally worship God while also verbally denying Him. Some may do that, but that's not the essence of what is being communicated here. But it means you are doing one thing with your words, one thing with your ritual, one thing in going through the motions, but in the practice of your daily life, you are denying what that religious expression is supposed to mean and to stand for. We'll look at it a little more closely, Lord willing, next week. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.